Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. I'm the host, Travis Loop, and this episode, we're here at the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center. I'm here with Michael Murphy. MassCEC is a state economic development agency dedicated to accelerating the growth of the clean energy sector across the Commonwealth, with the goals of spurring job creation, delivering environmental benefits, securing long-term economic growth for the people of Massachusetts. You work to increase the adoption of clean energy while driving down costs and delivering all those benefits to energy users and utility customers across the state. Your role here, could you kind of give an overview of that?
Certainly. So again, Michael Murphy, I'm director of the Water Innovation Program here. I really appreciate the opportunity to join your podcast. So my role here is really, it encompasses a lot. It's really about a facilitating role. It's convening, it's coalescing the water industry. Mm-hmm. Also, we do a lot of programmatic work. I support teams that we've spent time integrating water challenges into their grant programs. We've also developed standalone water programs, grant programs.
Okay.
We've done some market intelligence in water for the state of Massachusetts. You know, we spent some time doing some feasibility work at various sites around the Commonwealth that could potentially become demonstration centers for the water tech sector. So right now we're in the final stages of finishing a feasibility study. And then after that, we'll have to take the results and see what the next steps are. We're probably going to have to find some money and spend some money on infrastructure at some point, whether it be the private sector or the public sector. Ideally, that's a partnership of some kind.
Okay.
But we're not there yet. We're still in the final steps of those feasibility studies. We sponsor a lot of groups and companies and not so much companies, but groups that are doing activities in the water space. So the MIT Water Club is very active. Mm. There's a professional association here in water called the Northeast Water Innovation Network. I've been very close with them over the years. We work with other universities as well. So it's really a role that allows me to engage with stakeholders from all angles. So it's very gratifying in that regard to be able to know these stakeholders, learn from them, and also be able to be in a position to help and assist with grants and other kinds of convening that we do here.
So, the title of your entity here is the Clean Energy Center. How does water fit into that? Can you talk a little bit about the connection between energy and water and why you have a water innovation program? But yeah, what's that connection?
Certainly. I mean, that's a fundamental question. I get it.
Absolutely.
I get it a lot, and it's a fair question.
Yeah.
But it is because of that water energy nexus or that linkage between water and energy. I mean, if we step back for a moment and we think about energy and water and how it impacts our daily lives, really on every level, to continue to have the level of service and quality in both energy and water that we desire and we've come to expect, we need both of those, energy and water, to be managed together, inextricably linked as they are. We need to think about how they affect one another. So on the energy side, you know, it takes massive amounts of water for thermoelectric cooling.
Yeah.
This is the biggest part of water use on the energy side, is the highest withdrawal of water. So they withdraw the most water, but they don't consume the most water. So that water will be used to cool, but then it's returned. But it's often returned too hot or contaminated. Right. So there's issues there. Agriculture is another area where there's a food and water and energy nexus. But water and energy are very key to the food. And ag actually consumes the water, and then it's exported or delivered somewhere as food. One thing that we do a lot of focus here in Massachusetts on is the wastewater treatment sector, municipal wastewater treatment sector.
Okay.
This is their largest, energy is their largest expense to treat wastewater.
Yeah.
So how can MassCEC be involved and help incentivize energy efficiency at a municipal wastewater treatment facility? Something that we look at, sludge reduction is a big one, aeration is a big one. Those are the two biggest, really, on a wastewater treatment process. So if we can incentivize technologies closer to the market that can be adopted by the municipal sector, municipal wastewater treatment sector, then we believe that we can see energy efficiency gains. That's very important in terms of the water energy nexus. So that's how we're able to do what we do here. That's why we're able to have a water program at a clean energy agency. It's because of the water energy nexus.
Yeah, I mean, those are, you started mentioning the wastewater sector there. And, you know, as you know, our Water Environment Federation and our members and people we interact with in the water sector, that's really the focus there. So that's very interesting to hear about that. Can you talk just a little bit more about the Water Innovation Program? And I mean, you've kind of touched on it there, but a little bit more detail. And
certainly.
Yeah.
So the Water Innovation Program here really was born out of a recognition, and we were speaking a little bit about this before we went on. It's really born out of the recognition that Massachusetts can be a leader in water tech. That's not what we often think of, because it's another question I get all the time. Why is Massachusetts doing water? Well, I mean, Massachusetts is doing water because we have a lot of water around here.
Yeah.
And so we have other kind of issues. But it was really born out of that recognition that we could be a leader because we have all of these assets in which we can draw from, being investors, universities, talent, supportive public sector, all the professional associations, incubators and accelerators. This gives us a wealth of assets in which to work with and take advantage of to build a technology sector around around water. From that foundation, we're able to do this work. More specifically, on a programmatic level, we've integrated water challenges into our suite of grant programs that really is targeted at early stage technology, so pre-market,
okay,
pre-commercial. And these programs are step-up programs. We have small grants up to larger grants, and the idea is to help a company, you know, test and build its technology, perfect its technology, excuse me, and also its business plan and marketing plan and strategy. That's often the weak link, not the technology, but understanding the market and how to get to it, helping out in that regard. So we spent time really integrating what we do, or water technology, into our programs. And then we've developed a few pure play water programs. I mentioned the feasibility studies. That's really an infrastructure development initiative that's going to take a long time. But then I also mentioned the wastewater treatment focus. So we have a pilot program that is meant to incentivize the municipal wastewater treatment sector to pilot innovative technologies that have an energy efficiency metric.
Okay.
And then hopefully adopt those technologies.
Yeah. I mean, you just mentioned several things. I'm curious about, so you talk about water challenges in grants and feasibility and this wastewater treatment pilot. Are there any specific kind of examples you can mention of projects or challenges, like what exactly you're kind of going for in those, or places, facilities that might have taken steps as a result of them?
Certainly. I mean, without being too specific, I won't name like companies and names, but
sure.
You know, we're seeing technologies that are being taken up by municipalities, at least slowly. I mean, so what they want to do is they want to at least take a look at one of their pain points, and that's always going to be energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. So looking at X company, maybe it's ultrafiltration, maybe it's some sludge reduction technology. We've seen those pilots be successful. Now, still a long way to go.
Yeah,
there's still, you know, quite a process, you know, scale demonstrations, permitting, and just getting comfortable with the new technology can take a while. But we're seeing progress.
Doesn't mean that initial success is, you got to start somewhere to get it going.
You do, and I think that's a big part of what MassEC does. Take some of that early risk, until investors truly get on board.
Mm-hmm.
And that has shown itself to be a successful model.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the other thing you mentioned, and that was one of my questions, but you touched on already, was this idea about your location here in New England, and especially in Boston.
Right.
You know, is how it benefits your program, and how you've got these incredible universities here, world-class universities, and then the companies and all that. So it's a special area to be able to be doing this work.
It is a special area. You know, all of those, that portfolio of assets that we have really has allowed us to do interesting work and build programs. But there are a lot of technology sectors around here, so you have to kind of vie for spotlight and attention. That's another thing to think about.
That's the other side of the coin.
Yeah. But Massachusetts, I think, has recognized that it can be a leader and recognizes that it does have these assets that has helped spur other technology sectors and does realize that we have water challenges as well. And that's another reason to do this. You know, we have water quality challenges. We have nutrient loading challenges. Especially around Greater Boston, there's a high level of impermeable surface, so we have stormwater management challenges. We also get pretty intense storms up here, and so there's a resiliency conversation to be had.
Well, I know that a couple of weeks ago, you all had that bomb cyclone that came up, and I think there was it coincided with some high tides, and you had the surge from that, and then I know that water was kind of in parts of the Seaport area and downtown that's usually not something you see.
That was an unusual storm. There was water ending up in places that we don't usually see it in those levels. And so that was a sign. That was another example of why we need to stay ahead of this and think about resiliency of our water systems, both now and for future.
So. Yeah, I mean, is that the climate change impacts and sea level rise and stronger, more frequent storms? I mean, are these some of the challenges also? You mentioned resilience. These are things people are thinking about, and like we need to be finding technology-based solutions for these things and being innovative. And that's all.
I think so. You know, I don't think it's quite reached the level of what we do here at MassEC on water tech just yet. I mean, as I mentioned, we're really focused on wastewater treatment and energy efficiency.
Okay.
But where we see proposals that talk about resiliency, that really gives them a leg up.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, that's something that's important to this region.
I want to talk a little bit about just even the word innovation and what innovation means to you and what it means in terms of the water sector. It's definitely one of the biggest buzzwords out there, innovation, right? And so what does that mean to you?
Well, you're certainly right. It is a buzzword. It gets used a lot. And I do hear people say that maybe we're overusing that word.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love it. I mean, to me, it represents evolution and moving forward, looking at the next, you know, greatest technology that can benefit humanity and society. So I don't mind the word. I don't feel like I'm getting tired of it. To me, when I think about innovation in the water sector, I think the obvious place to go is to the technologies. But I don't think we have a technology problem in the water sector. I think we have plenty of technologies.
Okay.
I mean, ideas are coming out all the time. And that's one of the benefits of this role here at MassEC and working with early stage technologies. We see a lot of great ideas.
Yeah.
We really do. And I hear it as well from entrepreneurs that maybe technology is not the issue. When I think about innovation in the water space, I think about our relationship to water and where maybe we need to innovate our relationship to water and how we think about it, how we value it, how we care about it, how we look at our operators and the work that they do every day. I mean, what they do is nothing short of heroic to treat and deliver water at the levels that we've come to expect every day. But most people don't really think about it. Right. And most people have taken that for granted. And that's a product of our own success in doing this work. So it's not an indictment. It's just to say that we've been very successful, but so successful that we haven't had to think about it. And we need to start thinking about it again. And we are, but I mean across the board. Like, it needs to rise as a priority. If we can do that, I would see that as an innovation in the water sector. If we can do that, I believe we'll see technology innovations get adopted quicker. And that's how I think about innovation oftentimes when I think about the water sector. You know, there's innovation in business models as well and marketing strategies, and there's always going to be innovation in technology.
That's fantastic. I really like that. that idea that the water sector needs to innovate its public image in a way, and the public awareness of what the water sector does, you know, taking this wastewater and recycling it into this incredible clean water. You're right. It's like a miracle, and there's not enough attention there. I like that idea.
Innovate. I would love to see outreach talk about what you just mentioned more about taking our wastewater. And I saw that you had George Hawkins, and I think we're all a fan of George Hawkins.
Yeah.
I listened to that podcast last week, and he's been talking about enriched water for a while.
Enriched water, yeah.
It couldn't be more true. I mean, when you think about wastewater as we term it now, I mean, it's wastewater perhaps because we're wasting all the resources and potential in it. Having an evolved and innovative relationship to water would allow us to think about how we can recover all of those resources and put them to good use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very similar to what George has really spurred over there at Blue Plains.
You know, I'm here in Boston at the New England Water Environment Association conference, and I was walking by one of their big banners, and the tagline, you know, said, "We recycle water." So it's not just we clean water. It's so much more than that. You know, it's like you said, getting the energy out of there, getting the nutrients out of there, making the water clean so that it can be reused. And I know that the wastewater sector is trying to talk about itself as, you know, water resource recovery instead of wastewater.
And that's innovation. That's an innovation in thinking about our systems and the resource.
Back on the innovation and defining it, you mentioned there's not a technology problem. Someone has described innovation before as being something that's really disruptive. It really just kind of shakes things up, and it's a giant leap ahead. Do you think that there's any disruptive technology out there or looming on the horizon that's really going to be, shake things up? You know, the technology trend we have now is really good enough, like you said.
Well, I mean,
or it's tough to forecast, right? You can't say, yeah, there's something really disruptive
coming. I'll say yes.
Okay.
I mean, there is definitely a disruptive technology out there.
Yeah.
We see fantastic ideas. I think one of the challenges that we're always going to have, unless we're able to shorten that path to market, is we'll never know if many of these technologies could have been disruptive and really changed the way things are done. I certainly believe that they're out there. You know, I want to believe that all the technologies that we pilot or that I see other organizations pilot and work on, I go out there and visit and I take a closer look at the technology. And often I find myself thinking, you know, this actually could be disruptive, but it has an uphill battle, right? I mean, it is a long road just to get to market, much less be disruptive in the market.
And get widely adopted.
But I have to believe that there's more than one. There's got to be many of those kind of technologies out there. And I think they're going to be in that area we were talking about, turning a facility into a resource recovery facility, better membranes that don't foul as much, sludge reduction technologies that really reduce volume and save on the trucking loads and the incineration, you know, just high levels of filtration. I think we'll see. And then the way we use water too, or reuse water, I think there'll be, you know, technologies that come out. But it's hard to say which one's going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
But I really feel like they're there.
You've got so many companies and so many minds working on these issues that things will pop up. What about the area of we're such an information-based world now, you know, with big data and artificial intelligence even and things, systems like that. I mean, are there things churning over on that end?
Certainly. Optimization. In using data to optimize the information to make decisions, we're seeing that in stormwater. That is a real key area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly with the treatment, the SCADA platforms, just improving those to where all the data that's churned out is really usable, and decisions are made on it that make the entire process more efficient.
Yeah.
Right. I think there are many opportunities for gains in that area. And then also on the security side, just making sure that our systems are really secure to cyber attack. Any technologies that's going to be able to get a foothold, and they're already out there, but that is a potential disruptive force, right? Because that is very important for us to secure the utilities. And I know they do a lot of work on it, but those kind of technologies certainly can be disruptive.
Yeah. As you use information and computer-based, cloud-based technology more, then you've kind of have some more challenges there, or things you have to be aware of.
You do. It's the other side of the coin again.
Yeah. Well, what do you've touched on this question a little bit already for sure, but about the most common challenges to advancing water innovation in tech. And you talked about it's really the process of getting something from pilot to wide adoption is kind of the biggest challenge.
It's a big one, certainly. Yeah. It's a capital intensive industry too. I mean, requires a lot of pipes and pumps and big facilities. That's all very expensive. So procurement of funds can take a while. You know, that I think that first point stems a little bit from what we were talking about earlier and just the value on water. So when we increase the value on water, I think we're really going to prioritize it at a higher level. And that will unlock funds. And I do think we're getting there. We're going in that direction, but it's a slow road. And that's one of the challenges that you hear a lot. I think it's one of the most common challenges. It's just the slow pace of adoption.
Yeah.
And that's just because, you know, we've been doing things successfully in a certain way for a long time. It's hard to break out of that. Again, it's not an indictment on anyone. That just is what it is. We've been very successful using certain methodology. Mm-hmm. You know, there are massive risks to maybe rethinking that or switching that up and going different directions. There's public health risks.
Yeah.
That is a challenge. But doing any of that kind of work, there has to be a shared risk. And until a utility can share its risk or be incentivized to think about and really pilot at scale cutting edge technologies, it's going to be tough for them to do that because they're expected to meet a certain permit every day, no matter how they do it. So if they use the latest and the greatest, are they going to be recognized for that? Well, I know DC Water has, but George talks about just the marketing work he's done. Really, he gets out there and he tells the story.
Yeah.
And people have become more aware because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for a utility to do that. I'd also say that leads to just slow return on investment, meaning you don't have investors in as many investors in the space willing to put their money up.
Yeah, that's a key part of the equation.
It is.
And there's a big backlog in investing in just maintaining the nation's water infrastructure, right? The very basic stuff.
Right.
All those miles of pipes. And I imagine also that when there's funding available, it's like, well, we've got to just keep up with the maintenance and the regular operation, and we've got to do this project. We don't have extra funds to throw towards
right.
kind of trying out this new tech. Is that something you hear a lot?
Yeah. That's a valid point. I also think there's an opportunity for a rebuttal there, right? Mm-hmm. If we need to replace those pipes, why don't we think about the latest and the greatest that has been tested and demonstrated to a point which we're all comfortable with, that may prevent or at least reduce the amount of holes that have to be dug in the future. That's costs a lot of money to do that. Enhancing a system with better valves and smart valves and turning a system that's old and when you have to go fix it, making it a smarter system that can optimize data within itself and not so manual. So I think there's an opportunity, but I can hear an operator or superintendent telling me right now that that's not really proven. We know how iron works. We know how concrete works.
Mm-hmm.
Fair point.
Right.
It's a fair point. But at some point, you know, we'll have to advance a little bit.
And
we'll have to think about some of these things that maybe can be disruptive if we give them a chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've mentioned also this kind of last question here about what does the water sector need to do to accelerate innovation? I mean, I think you've kind of touched on that, but what would you, like if you could wave your wand maybe and change one thing that you think would really help accelerate innovation in water?
One thing, if I can wave my wand and change one thing, you know, I'd love to see a systems benefit charge on water tariffs.
Okay, explain
bills.
That.
It's what we do here at the Massachusetts Clean Energy Center. You know, there is a small surcharge on electricity bills for investor-owned utilities. That little bit of money goes into the Renewable Energy Trust Fund. That money is administered by this agency in the form of grants, loans, and rebates, and innovation programs, deployment programs, workforce programs. If we could do that on the water side, that could be game-changing or disruptive, to use a few more buzzwords. That really could be disruptive, but I'm not sure. I don't even know if any states are doing that yet.
Really?
I've seen it called for, and I've certainly had those conversations. People email me and ask me, will Massachusetts ever do that? And I don't know. You know, maybe so, maybe not. I mean, in the meantime, we're doing some pretty cool work, but I think a systems benefit charge brings more money into the space.
And that, yeah, I mean, we talked about why the funds are an issue. So yeah. That would be part of the solution there.
I think it's part of the solution.
That's very interesting.
And I think a state that can do that would become a leader overnight.
But now, is that...
It's hard to do, though. I mean, this is a fragmented utility sector. The energy sector, far fewer utilities, right? On the water side, 50,000, 100,000, depending on how you're counting and what you're counting as far as water utilities or wastewater utilities.
Yeah.
So that level of fragmentation will make it very challenging to do something similar. But maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe this is another way to accelerate innovation. Maybe there's an opportunity there to roll up smaller utilities where towns can actually just share one facility. And I know this happens, but there's quite a few very small utilities. And maybe there's opportunities to integrate some of those.
Yeah. So are there other states that have it set up similar to Mass on the energy side, like the systems benefit charge?
I believe so, but I'm not 100% positive. Okay.
And do you know generally like what that might be on somebody's monthly bill or what that works out to?
I want to say it's like 0.03 cents a month.
So it's a super small.
It's a small amount.
It adds up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
That would be one thing. That would be waving my magic wand. But we talked about outreach. I mean, just people's awareness and their increased value of water. Not just the water that's coming in, but the water that's going out, the water that's falling, and the water that's in the reservoirs and the aquifers. Having a deeper level of understanding of how fundamental of a resource it is.
And how that system works. I don't know if a lot of people really realize where their drinking water comes from, that it comes from a lake or a reservoir or groundwater. And
right.
I don't know that they realize actually that when wastewater leaves their house, that it, I think they know it goes to the sewers and it goes and gets treated. They realize then that it leaves and goes back into a river or something like that. So yeah, that fundamental understanding.
That would be a good way to accelerate innovation, because then people are more aware. Then they talk to their local politicians about it. They talk to their companies about it. It gets things in motion more. I mean, it starts with just citizenry having awareness and a level of care that reaches some sort of tipping point where we just do more.
Good deal.
We invest more.
Well, Michael, I appreciate the time. Some really interesting points and discussion there. I'm going to be asking other people about water systems benefit charges now in this concept.
Please do.
Yes.
I think that's a good conversation to get going around the country. I mean, I've heard it from other corners.
Yeah.
But I haven't really seen it happen yet.
Interesting. All right. Well, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate it.
Words on water.